Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? This evening, I will be preaching from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. As I read these words, if you're new to our church, we believe that everything that you're about to hear actually happened. These are true events that took place in this very earth that God himself created. Listen carefully, even if you've heard this hundreds of times, for something new that the Lord reveals about his Son, our Savior Jesus. Again, beginning at Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Father, as we open your word, we ask that you would feed us, that you would draw all of us, Holy Spirit, to understand that we need Jesus Christ, that all who are here this night, those who are worshiping with us online from places all over this globe, that they would know that you, Christ Jesus, are the only one who is Savior of the world. Bless this time, Lord, in this worship service to your glory and our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been to this service before, you know that each time I stand in here, I will tell you how much I love Christmas Eve. I have since I was a little boy, and I will until the day the Lord returns or calls me home. This just makes it better and better and better. Being with you, thank you for coming. With the family that God has called us to be, we get to bring him praise and glory. During this Advent season, we have been tracing a theme, and the theme is light and darkness. The word tracing means to copy, means to explore. It means a small matter, something that's barely distinguishable. And tonight, I want to begin by asking you to do something, or asking you to simply ask yourself a question. Have you ever traced why you believe what you believe? I know there are people here tonight who are here because they believe everything that the Bible says about Jesus. And I know there are people here tonight who are like me for many years who didn't believe these true things, or these things that claim to be true are true. But tonight I just want to ask you a really important question. Whether you know you believe in Jesus, or you know you don't, or you're somewhere in the middle, have you ever truly taken the time to trace, to go back over? Why do you believe what you believe? This is the most important question about who our Lord and Savior is. And tonight, I want to remind you of what is being offered. For those who have received Christ already, this should be something that just swells continually in our hearts and minds. As a little boy, I traced the light every Christmas Eve. There were two lights. One light was underneath the door. It was the light that meant that someone was still putting gifts out, and nobody was supposed to come out of the door until that light went out. I want you to know, I never once as a child slept on Christmas Eve. I couldn't, and there's children here tonight who understand. I couldn't. In fact, it's still hard for me. The anticipation of what is waiting under the tree, the gifts that are there that have been given. So every Christmas Eve, I would wait for that light to go out. And then I would know if I waited 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, I could then go and see what was under the tree. Often that led me back to my bed with discipline that had taken place from my father, who said, it's time to go back to bed. But there was another light that wasn't near. It wasn't one that I could actually see. And it was a light that I was always looking for out the many blinds of my window, my bedroom window, wondering, when will I ever see the light of the one who has been told to me brings these gifts. So I would look out the window and I would look under the door. Tonight, I want to do two things with this passage. I want to show you these things that appear to be contrasts. There's three I want to look at. And I want to focus on one word for a moment. The first thing I want you to see is the contrast between that which is ordinary and extraordinary. This passage tells us in verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. What Luke is telling us is that this was their ordinary activity. This was their job. This was a day like any other day, which would turn into a night like any other night. Shepherds were not men who were really well respected. They were poor. But on this night, this ordinary night, doing their ordinary work, something extraordinary took place. I want you to think about this contrast between the ordinary and the extraordinary. On this ordinary night, suddenly in the sky, there appeared an angel. An angel in their presence, one angel who begins to speak to them about a child that is born. This extraordinary revelation shows us that God is the one who initiates. And what he shows us is that it's so often in the midst of the ordinary that the extraordinary is revealed. It's very possible tonight that you are here just because this is what you ordinarily do with your family on Christmas Eve. And praise God for the ordinary. The ordinary means of grace. His word, prayer, the sacraments. The ordinary are significant. It's also possible that tonight, on this ordinary night, as we celebrate in an ordinary way for us as a church, that the extraordinary is going to happen. That eyes that were blind 5 minutes ago are suddenly going to see. And eyes that once saw but have forgotten how wonderful this gospel is are going to see with new vision. The people who entered into the sanctuary overwhelmed by the season for the wrong reasons, being consumed by lesser lights instead of the great one who is the light, are going to experience the extraordinary truth that God is revealing himself to you and me. It was an ordinary night. They were doing their ordinary jobs when suddenly the extraordinary happened. An angel speaks. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I want you to notice in verse 9, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared. There is a word there that you don't see in this translation that has to do with a sudden appearance. It's an unexpected appearance. And this unexpected appearance of this angel would create fear for anyone. The extraordinary happens. Verse 13, it says, and suddenly, there's that word. It's a different word in the Greek, actually, but it means the same thing. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, let's say this together, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now imagine what that sounded like with an army of angels who weren't thinking about whether they're too loud or not. They've been created for this. And for this moment, they had been sent to these shepherds, ordinary men doing ordinary work. The extraordinary revelation comes. Glory to God in the highest. They had never seen anything like it. You and I have never seen anything like it. Let's look at the second contrast. I want to use the word transcendent and the word intimate. When we think about our worship services on Sunday, or at a wedding, or at a memorial service, or during a season like Advent, on a night like tonight, it is the desire of the leaders in this church and this body that when you enter this place, you would begin to experience the transcendence of God. That you would recognize there's something different. I'm not in a theater. I'm not primarily an audience. I am not here to simply go through the motions. I am here to experience the transcendence of God, whose thoughts are too wonderful for me. As great as the most powerful telescope is, we can't see well beyond because it can't reach. And that universe is what God upholds by the word of his power. God, the Son. We want you to experience the transcendence. And if you look through the liturgy, the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, you see that. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is unlike any other. But this transcendent God, who on an ordinary night revealed himself in the most extraordinary way, showed his transcendence. This army of angels filling the sky, speaking of the baby that's been born, glory to God in the highest. But this is Christianity. It's not just about his transcendence, his awesomeness, his majesty, his might, his power. It's that this transcendent God is also deeply intimate with his people. That through the Holy Spirit, he actually lives in you if you've professed faith in Christ. God showed his intimacy in the incarnation, that the very transcendent God, Father, sent his one and only Son, who is now in a manger as a baby, fully God and fully man. Transcendent, intimate. There's a third contrast I want us to look at. And it has to do with the response. In verse 17, it says of the angels, when they saw it, that's the child Jesus, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The text tells us that once the angels left, and I just want you to think about this, it really happened. There really were shepherds. There really were angels. One spoke first, and then an army of angels, and then they disappeared. When they disappeared, the shepherds said to one another, let's go and see this thing that has been told to us. Once again, God's revealing himself, the extraordinary, entering the ordinary. And it says they went with haste. It means they ran. They got to this place, and there they saw this baby who is God, King of the world, Savior of sinners. Upon receiving that news, what do? They proclaim it. They're tracing the light. They're tracing the angel's voice and then the angel's voice. They trace the light to the one who is in the manger, who is the light of the world. And after seeing him, they move to proclaim, to hold out the news about this child. What a privilege we have for those in Christ. But I want you to notice Mary. Mary does something different. The text tells us in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds go out with voice proclaiming. Mary, who's just given birth, this is an extraordinary birth. But he, Jesus, was birthed in an ordinary way, painful labor, a baby crying, a baby needing to be clean. But the baby that she's cleaning is the very one who made her. Let this be something you ponder. Ponder means to think. It means to reflect. It means to ask over and over and over again, what does this mean? Have you traced why you believe what you believe? Mary is pondering all that she has heard and is being said about this child. And Luke tells us that she is treasuring it. While they're proclaiming it, she's holding it close in. For us who are in Christ, seasons like this help us ponder. You need to ponder this night, meditate over and over. Who is this one? You need to trace your belief and what you believe about this child. If you've never done that, use the bulletin that will take you into the Word and trace what the Word says about Jesus. I want to go back as I end to the word suddenly. The word in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, is the same word that Paul would use later to describe when this child, who has now lived his life, who has now died the death that we all deserve to die, who has done everything necessary to save us from our sins as he's raised from the dead, is going to return again. And for some reason, we tend to think that we'll have some sense of when it's going to happen, even though the Word of God, Jesus himself says, he will return like a thief in the night. Suddenly, while you're doing ordinary things, tonight you're here. And it's very possible that as you trace your story of belief, that this could be a significant moment in your life. December 24th, 2024. Whether you've known Christ a long time, or tonight is the night when your eyes are opening. It's the work of the Spirit to trace this light for you. I've been to Israel once. I want to give you the high light and the low point. The low point took place in Bethlehem. Pete was leading our trip. I couldn't wait to see the place where they think it's possible that Christ was born. Some places they know definitely, other places are very good guesses. The people are flocking everywhere. Thousands of people are waiting in line to have a 15 to 30 second look down a hole that says, we think this might be the spot. I was overwhelmed, not by the reality of where I was, but by the masses of people around and all of the trinkets and all of the marketing. Lesser lights everywhere. To be honest with you, I hated it. I left the group to go be alone. I walked just a little bit outside the area where we were. I sat on a bench, just needing to breathe, when the Spirit of God prompted my mind with this thought, look up. Look up. I didn't hear an audible voice, but in this ordinary moment, feeling a little bit of discouragement, I looked up, and then it hit me. Well, we don't know exactly what part of earth the Christ child was born. Look up. This is the sky where the army of angels were. And while there are buildings and roads and people that didn't exist on the day he was born, this was the same sky. And suddenly, that which had been a really dark day became quite light. My favorite moment was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane is the place where Jesus was when he was arrested. It's the place where Jesus was when he cried out to his Father after asking his disciples to stay awake and pray and keep watch. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. The Father wasn't willing. Jesus said, your will be done, not mine. And it was the Father's will to crush the Son, as the book of Isaiah says, so that all who would trust in him would live forever, because not a trace of their sin would be held against them, because he paid the penalty. None of it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a place we know this is where it exists, I didn't hear a prompting of the Spirit saying, look up. But in this case, it was look down. This is the very ground, and it's not very big, where Jesus walked, where Luke tells us he sweated blood. Literally, the capillaries of under his skin bursting, because as the word says, he was overwhelmed to the point of death. The one I'm speaking of tonight has given us so many ordinary ways of knowing him. But when he reveals to us that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and he opens blind eyes to see and causes dead hearts to beat, which is all of us, that's extraordinary. We trace that light, and in tracing that light, we're tracing grace. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this night, praise him that he did the extraordinary in making himself known to you, probably on an ordinary day. And tonight, if you don't know him, but suddenly you're hearing things you've never heard, or you're at least not interested in tracing why you believe what you believe, take him at his word. Trace the story of Jesus. Let us walk with you in doing so. I'm confident that if you do that, you're going to see what he has brought you here to see. He's transcendent,
unlike anything else. But he's also intimate. He lives inside those who profess faith in Jesus. He seems so distant, but he is so near. More near than any pain, any anxiety, any grief that you and I can ever know. The night called Christmas Eve is a time where we remember and celebrate that he came. He came because God demonstrated his own love for us in this. This baby was born that he might die. He came because God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's coming again, and it's going to be sudden. And for all who are in Christ, you will be secure. You will have fear and awe and wonder. But for those who are not in Christ, you will only have fear. And that fear will last for eternity. This is the word of the Lord. It's not Mark's words. It's the word of the Lord. Trace your story. Do you know why you believe what you believe? Father in heaven, we can only imagine what the shepherd saw, and it doesn't compare to what it must have been. We ask, Lord, tonight, as we listen, as we sing, as we think, as we trace, that you would truly open our eyes to see and behold your glory. I pray that you would do this for your glory and for our good. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.